This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is another episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 116, and you can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Well, today I want to give a shout out for my sponsor for the show in that Second Harvest curriculum. A shout out to Lori Power, who is the owner. You can visit their website at usedhomeschoolbooks.com, and we're going to be talking more about that website and what they have to offer in a few minutes. Well, today I want to talk to you about the topic, and that is the name of the show anyway, Help, I Want to Change My Teaching Methods. And I thought it would be great to look at the various types of ways that homeschool parents school their children and see if maybe just going over some of the different methodology can help inspire you. I know from time to time I felt that I was getting stale in my homeschooling, and I really wanted to break out and go with a different method of teaching. So whether you're a new homeschool mom or a vintage homeschool mom and just want to make a change, I think this show will have some beneficial information for you. You know, when I started homeschooling, I felt like I knew it all. Yes, I was one of those kind of parents. I had a background in education, K through 12. I had a certification in learning disabilities and in early childhood education back in the day. That's what we called it. And so certificate-wise, I could teach K through 12. And so as I approached my teaching career, if you will, and looked at what my options were there, I settled in the middle school area because I always felt that to teach middle school, you had to be a smart aleck to stay one step ahead of the kids. So I felt like I fit that description. And so I immersed myself in education and loved, you know, working with the kids, the administration not so much. I happen to be a rebel, and those of you who have listened for a while could probably figure that out. And I think, you know, if we're going to be honest as homeschool moms, a lot of us are. A lot of us don't seem to fit into the conventional mold. Many of us may start out homeschooling a particular way and then switch to another way. And, you know, this really falls into what I've been thinking about and praying about in my life, and that is the changes and the choices that we make and why we make these changes and these choices. And a lot of it has to do with the season in our life, what's going on. And I hope that I'm speaking to many of you who will go to prayer and ask the Lord for some help in this area. And if you pray, open your heart to God's will in this area, because a lot of times we have these ideas and we'll jump into them and then we wonder why they don't work out. And if they're not working out for you, if your year, if you're listening to this in the middle of your homeschool year or, you know, some other time, and things are just not going well, then, you know, it may be time to look at making some of those changes. And I hope that they're prayerful. In the show notes on Vintage Homeschool Mom, I'm going to have some links to other broadcasts I've done. And I did a middle of the year checkup. And I think that that is a really good podcast to listen to, because that will help you with some of the questions that you might have. And I actually have a whole bundle that's the beginning, middle, and end of the year that you can do on your own. And it really does help, because I used it for years to see where I was going and where I wanted to go with my kids, and then be able to make adjustments in the middle of the year. So I typically took a little bit of time off to just pray and reflect on that. And if you don't have time to do it right now, you know, maybe look at your calendar and schedule in some time. You know, I just want to say, parents, you know, we schedule in time for the dentist or going to take our kids to lessons or making dinner or doing the laundry or whatever it is that we do in our lives. And a lot of times we don't make the time for the things that are important. And one of the things that is very important is planning our school and also implementing some of those things that we planned. And I have to admit that sometimes I planned way too much and I couldn't implement half of it. So I felt like a failure. So just make sure that what you're doing, you know, you look at it like a work in progress and something that you can tweak, and don't be too hard on yourself. In fact, another link I'm going to have in the show notes is from our mommy, Jammy's Night. And, you know, it was a really good session on not thinking that you're good enough. And I think that that podcast will also help to motivate and to inspire you, as many of our Mommy Jammy Night sessions are. They are inspiration for moms and help. So let's look at the different learning, not necessarily learning styles, which I did another podcast on that. And, you know, as I'm on podcast 116, that probably doesn't surprise you. But I'm going to go through some of the six different points I'm going to hit, and I'm going to go through each of these, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how I homeschooled with each of these methods somewhat, one a little bit less than another, and you'll probably hear in my voice which one is my least favorite. But the points that I'm going to cover are traditional homeschooling, classical homeschooling, unit studies, Charlotte Mason, eclectic, and unschooling. And it's going to be in that order, I believe, and who knows, you know, I may go off on a few tangents and overlap, but I'm sure you'll stick with me as I go through this. But the first thing I want to talk about is, you know, that a lot of times when we begin homeschooling, our homeschool life is going to look like a classroom, unless you were homeschooled and, you know, have some experience in that way. Like my daughter was always homeschooled until she went to college. So she's a homeschool mom now, and she does a mixture of different things depending on the season in her life. But one of the ways she enjoyed homeschooling the most was with unit studies. And as a homeschool mom, she began in that way. Now, many homeschool moms are not going to be comfortable beginning with unit studies because that's not what they're familiar with. You're most familiar, more than likely, if you have not been homeschooled, with the traditional approach of education, which is going to look like textbooks and workbooks. And so you're more than likely going to start your homeschool, you know, world with that. You're going to start with some structure and a schedule. You're going to maybe start with prayers. I know we began our homeschooling, even though I was a teacher, and we begin traditionally with textbooks and workbooks, we actually began on our knees. The children and I knelt down every morning and prayed. And I really feel like those prayers are what sustained what could have been an incredibly horrible year, especially as I made my poor son, who was struggling academically, do not one but two different math books because he was struggling in one textbook, so I put him in another, right? That makes a lot of sense. Well, looking back, I can just see how, you know, horrible that was. But at the time, I really didn't like the setup of this particular textbook we were using, and I really liked this other textbook because it had a lot more manipulatives, but he was still struggling, and we needed to go to an entirely manipulative approach until I could phase him back to paper and pencil. And so I found myself doing a lot of fun things with him later on in his homeschool life after I'd gotten that first year under my belt. So, you know, as a student, you may also feel, you know, you were more comfortable with that school setting. And so a lot of parents, you know, have the desks and they have the books and, you know, the marker board. You know, I think most of us have gotten away from the chalkboard, although when I started homeschooling, we did have chalkboards, and the kids even had small little chalk slates, almost like, you know, back to the time of Anne of Green Gables or, you know, Little House on the Prairie kind of a thing. But however you start out, you know, just look at it as a learning process. I always say to parents, you know, you can't fail if you've been positive with your kids and you've been encouraging and they've made progress. And even if it's just a little bit of progress, you know, it depends on why you're homeschooling and what type of homeschooler you feel like you are. And if you're not sure that you know, you know, again, look through vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, and I will have a link to a podcast that I did talking about that. You know, if homeschooling is what you do or if homeschooling is who you are. And a lot of times we don't know, you know, about that because we haven't had the experience. And so you grow with your children as you're homeschooling them. If you're starting with high schoolers, you know, this could be very daunting to you. So if you're starting with high schoolers, you may want to look at something along the lines of, you know, what does the future hold? Are you looking at your high schoolers as going to college, or are they going to be starting their own businesses, or perhaps, you know, following a certain career path, whatever that might be for them? Like, for example, I've had high schoolers who were college bound and who were not. My son is working in construction. And so we still prepared him in high school for like a very heavy business focus. And he did everything he needed to go to college if that was going to be his option. But we still incorporated a lot of hands-on things because he was so mechanical. I allowed him to explore that kind of thing, like building engines and anything that he did that was repairs. He was able to document that. And so you can fit some of these different, you know, disciplines, if you will, into your particular child. So don't look at each of these things as a rigid category. And, you know, at the end of this podcast, I will let you know what type of homeschooler I am. And, you know, so that you can get that idea. But I think you'll probably figure it out. I'll give you little clues as we go along without really telling you. Well, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I am going to talk to you some more about the different types of homeschooling, and we are going to go to classical next. Well, you know what? As we talk about what type of method you want to use for your homeschooling, you may want to look at our sponsor today, which is usedhomeschoolbooks.com. You know, they're also known as Second Harvest Curriculum, and it's owned by Lori Power, who's a former homeschool mom, or a graduated homeschool mom, as I like to say. You know, Second Harvest is a source of quality homeschool books with over 40 publishers to choose from. So you may be wondering what kind of curriculum you'd like to use, and this may be a great website for you to take a look at. All the books come with a 30-day return policy, and Second Harvest also buys gently used books from homeschool families and Christian schools. And you can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. And I'm going to have links to Second Harvest curriculum on the podcast. So if you go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, podcast 116, you will see links to all of their social media. If you have any questions, you can visit them at usedhomeschoolbooks.com or talk to Lori in person. And she's awesome and giving you her phone number here. And that's 308-350-0335. And please tell Lori you heard about her on Vintage Homeschool Moms. Well, you know what? It's been really challenging for me through the years to decide what is the best method to use and how I should, you know, go about homeschooling. And so I read about, I read about classical and Charlotte Mason probably the most. And the classical method really goes through the trivium, if you've heard about that, and the Socratic method, based off of Socrates, a Greek philosopher. And it works on the concrete, analytical, and abstract levels of your child's growth. So they're broken down into grade levels, and, you know, when the kids are younger, obviously they're more concrete, usually till sixth grade. Then they move into like an analytical phase in middle school, and then in high school, it's abstract, where they can work on a lot of things on their own. And it's language and literature intensive, but then it tries to, you know, couple things together like math and science and history, and literature to language, arts, and music. So it really works on trying to, if you will, you know, blend some of these disciplines together. And so that is a method that is very, very popular in homeschool circles. It makes sense as far as your child's, you know, ability to grasp some of the things that they're learning, which is why a lot of times when they're younger, they're just sponges, and that's the best time to teach things like foreign languages, like rote memory things. Like my daughter taught her kids a lot of things that they're not going to necessarily use right now, but their minds are so open, and they're such sponges, and they can memorize so much. So right now is a great time to memorize things for little kids. Unit studies is another method that homeschoolers use. It usually is an immersion method. It focuses on a specific area of interest, typically history or some sort of literature, or it could be science. And specific areas of interest are incorporated with all the different disciplines. For example, you know, experiential types of things, projects, field trips, experimentation. Of course, there's reading, and then things are added. For example, you could do an independent math book along with a unit study. If they're younger, you may just want to incorporate some math that you would naturally use with whatever you are studying. It's a favorite of large families or families with different teaching levels. For example, families that might have a kindergartner, a fourth grader, or a high schooler. So you've got this vast difference in learning abilities among your children. So a unit study could bring the entire family together, and you would all be studying at least the same specific topic, and then going into it more in depth depending on the age, or less depending on you know, how young the child is. The next method would be Charlotte Mason, and Charlotte Mason is a big favorite. Probably if I had to pick one of the methods that is the most favorite among homeschoolers, and this is, you know, without any statistical evidence, but just a guess from having homeschooled since 1986, I would probably say Charlotte Mason is probably one of the most popular methods. Charlotte Mason focuses on what is called living books, and that is reading materials and information that would be, you know, perhaps in a story. You would read a lot of historical fiction or biographies and things that are closer to the event in a real way. A lot of nature study is a focus, not so much experimentation or science other than what is found in nature. Art and music are very prevalent. And the focus is on a love of learning. There isn't so much the testing that you might find in traditional homeschooling or even classical, but you would have more of a narration and discussion as opposed to a test. And a lot of Charlotte Mason students that have been taught in this way do extremely well, especially in the area of language arts. The next is eclectic, which is, you know, sometimes considered a hodgepodge of different styles, from relaxed to various different curriculums, with an emphasis on what is important to that parent or teacher. And so it could incorporate some traditional, some classical, some Charlotte Mason, some unit studies, you know, depending on how that parent teaches or wants to teach. And it really is a focus I think more eclectic is more on what the parent feels comfortable with, as well as what the parent thinks that child needs during that season. So eclectic could either all happen in one year where there's a lot of different disciplines that are being used, or it can be over a course of, you know, your homeschool career. You know, maybe one year you've tried traditional and then you're going to classical and deciding to add some Charlotte Mason. So, you know, it really depends. And then unschooling is number six here, and it's mostly considered to be a free-for-all. But if you look at unschooling, it is, the focus is child-led, or it's called child delight learning. You know, what is it that is your child's passion that they can just run with? You would be surprised at how much planning does go into what I would call more validated unschooling. It's not like you just let your kid do whatever they want during the day. Not to say that that hasn't happened or you know, doesn't happen. But it's more of, let's say your child decides that they are really interested in cooking. So the parent is going to facilitate that with going to the library and getting cookbooks, or finding what the child wants to cook and having those things on hand so the child can experiment and cook with these things. Giving the child some direction in that way by facilitating the learning. It also is not curriculum focused or doesn't have formal lessons. But the belief is that the kids are going to learn on their own if they're given the right tools and resources. And so as we look at these different things, traditional, classic, unit study, Charlotte Mason, eclectic or unschooling, you may or may not have been able to tell which I like best just in what I've been sharing, because I've tried to stay pretty impartial. But if I had to describe my educational style, I would say that I would love to, be more of a traditional homeschooling mom. But for us, it just did not work within the home. And I really think that we lean toward eclectic. And the reason is that whether or not, I was focused on, for example, having a college-bound student as opposed to not, I really felt that immersion was important. So for us, I really wanted to focus on some sort of unit study during the year. Like, for example, if we did a Bible study, homeschooling with Proverbs, and that was such a blessing in our family, and our entire family was studying the book of Proverbs that year as a family, getting together and discussing. Now, that to me is very important, to have something that we did as a family. If it was more, traditional that year, and I believe it was, then I wanted to have something that we could do together as a family. And so while I loved unit studies and probably used that for the longest in my homeschool career, with my first two children at least, the last three that I schooled, you know, were led more into different ways of education. Probably if I had to pick one, classical would be the least of what we focused on. And I think because for me, it didn't make sense with my children's learning styles or their abilities at that point. And truthfully, whatever style you pick, it has to be right for you and for your family. And one of the things I'm going to caution you about is to be careful and not just piggyback on what someone else is doing. I know a lot of times when parents start homeschooling, it is very difficult for them to just be independent of what they would like to do or their philosophy or their goals without leaning on someone else. You know, even if it's just this podcast or this podcast network, you know, I want you to gather the information and make decisions on yourself, with the Lord, you know, and also with your spouse or some mentor that can possibly help you through this. And I hope that's what Vintage Homeschool Moms is for you, that I'm here to mentor you, to come alongside you, and to help you with some ideas and some focus for your homeschooling. Well, you know, I've really enjoyed being with you today, and there's going to be a second part of this podcast. And the next part of this podcast is going to be on selecting curriculum and how to find the perfect curriculum for you. That's a big promise there. It's going to be podcast 117. So if you're listening to it and it's not available yet, don't worry, it will be. And if you're listening to this broadcast, I really encourage you to subscribe. So how do you do that? You can do it many different ways. You can go to Vintage Homeschool Moms and click the subscribe button there. Or an even better way is to use a podcast app on your phone if you have a smartphone. And you can look up Vintage Homeschool Moms and you will find us there. And just click that subscribe button. The great thing is you don't have to download all 116 episodes. You can scroll through and figure out what episodes would be the most meaningful to you. And you can just download those and, you know, archive them when you're done. So you're not taking up a lot of room on your phone. You can also download them and listen to them later offline. And that's what I do with a lot of the podcasts that I listen to. And I'm going to warn you, as I've gotten emails from parents, and thanks so much for those of you who email me. It's always so great to hear from you. But they've emailed me and said I've turned them into podcast junkies. So I think that, you know, education for all of us is important, and we're all moving forward, whether we're learning more as homeschool moms or learning alongside our children as they're homeschooling, or we're teaching them, or just being encouraged. So I hope that this Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network is a blessing to you and your family. And one of the ways you can bless us is to subscribe to our podcast and also to visit our sponsors. And I want to thank Lori Power today from Second Harvest Curriculum for, you know, feeling strongly enough about our network and Vintage Homeschool Moms to sponsor this event. So let's bless Lori back and visit her website at usedhomeschoolbooks.com. You can find her on Facebook at Second Harvest Curriculum. So look for her on Facebook, and she's on Twitter at Second Harvest, as well as Pinterest as Second Harvester. And I'll have all of those links on podcast 116 on Vintage Homeschool Moms. So, hey, thanks so much for listening. God bless you all. And I pray that this will be an amazing year for you, whether you're listening mid-year, the end of the year, or at the beginning, that God will help provide you with the way you should homeschool. And you know what? If you change your mind next year, it's okay. As long as the Lord's with you and you're happy with how it's going. If not, drop me a line. We're here to help. We have a great Facebook group where we talk about all things homeschooling. So everyone, take care, and I will see you for the next show. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.